Tiffany did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across East of England as you listen. This is their story. In healthcare across the region, qualified candidates stand ready to train as nurses while NHS wards operate understaffed and university lecture halls sit empty. The disconnect between workforce demand and training capacity reveals the gap between what Southend West and Lee needs and what the system delivers.
I grew up watching my grandmother receive care from nurses at Southend Hospital who treated her with such dignity during her final months. My mum was a teaching assistant, my dad worked maintenance at the local college, and they both believed that helping people was the most important work you could do. Those nurses inspired me. I knew from the age of 15 that I wanted to follow that path. After my A-levels at Southend High School for Girls, I took a job as a healthcare assistant at Southend University Hospital NHS Foundation Trust. I wanted to save money for university and gain real experience on the wards before starting my nursing degree. For 3 years, I worked alongside qualified nurses, learning everything I could, watching how they managed complex cases, how they advocated for patients, how they held everything together when the system felt like it was breaking. In 2019, I applied through UCAS for nursing degree programs. I received offers from both the University of Essex and Anglia Ruskin University. My grades were strong, my personal statement detailed my healthcare experience, and my references from the ward managers were excellent. I was ready. Both universities wanted to accept me. Then Health Education England contacted both institutions. They informed them that nursing training places for the East of England had been capped due to Treasury spending limits on healthcare education budgets. Despite having the qualifications and both universities wanting to accept me, I was told there is no funding available for additional nursing places this year. I accepted this explanation. It sounded reasonable. Money was tight, resources were limited, and difficult decisions had to be made. I continued working as a healthcare assistant, picking up extra shifts, watching our wards struggle with chronic understaffing while I reapplied each year. The contradiction became visible in 2021. I discovered that the University of Essex had 40 unfilled nursing training places because the centralised allocation system had miscalculated regional demand. 40 places. The lecture halls sat empty 3 days a week. The simulation labs where students practice clinical skills were unused. Qualified nursing lecturers had been made redundant despite the critical shortage of nurses at my own hospital. I drove to the campus in Colchester one afternoon and walked through the nursing education building. Empty classrooms designed for cohorts of 30 students, equipment worth hundreds of thousands of pounds sitting idle, a library stocked with current nursing textbooks that no one was reading because no one was enrolled. Meanwhile, back at Southend Hospital, we were running wards with half the nursing staff we needed. I applied again in 2022, this time armed with evidence of the vacant training places and the understaffing on our wards. NHS England told me that workforce planning had been paused pending Treasury review of public sector training expenditure. The same excuse, dressed in different language. No funding, no money, cannot afford it. But I could see with my own eyes what no money actually meant. Every week, I drove past the Nursing Education Centre in Chelmsford that had been locked and shuttered, a purpose-built facility with modern simulation equipment, clinical skills labs and lecture theatres standing empty. I spoke to Nina, a colleague from Norwich, who had faced identical barriers trying to access nursing training in our shared region. We compared notes, same story everywhere, people who wanted to train, facilities that existed, wards that needed staff, and a system that said none of these could be connected because there was no funding. I started to wonder if the people exist and the buildings exist and the need exists. What exactly is it that there is no money for? The students were ready, the lecturers existed, many of them now unemployed or working reduced hours. The facilities were built and equipped, the hospitals were desperate for qualified nurses. Where was the shortage? The government that issues the pound chose not to spend the pounds that would connect these people to this work. That is a political decision dressed as an accounting problem. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency, the government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still working on the wards, still watching the same patterns repeat. New healthcare assistants arrive with nursing ambitions and hit the same walls I did. The wards remain understaffed. The training centres remain locked. And somewhere in Westminster, officials continue to explain that connecting willing students to empty classrooms to understaffed hospitals is financially impossible. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone with access to the Treasury's spending decisions says the cupboard is bare.
What Tiffany experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands perfect outcomes and zero waste before committing public investment, a standard never applied to tax cuts or bank bailouts. Imagine demanding that a fire service guarantee zero false alarms before funding fire stations, or that schools promise zero failed exams before hiring teachers. The standard makes action impossible by design. Historical example. Tobacco companies use this technique for decades, demanding absolute proof of harm before accepting any regulation, knowing that science rarely provides absolute certainty. They exploited the gap between reasonable evidence and impossible proof to delay action. In Tiffany's story, Treasury spending limits operated the same way. They demanded guarantees that every nursing training place would produce a nurse who stayed in the NHS for their entire career, that every pound spent would generate measurable returns, that workforce planning could predict demand with mathematical precision. Meanwhile, they applied no such scrutiny to the costs of understaffed wards, cancelled operations, or redundant nursing lecturers. The NHS is often called a bottomless pit, where no amount of investment is ever sufficient. No service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southend West and Lee ranks 333 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 364 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £5.8 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.